It's showtime.
And Carl is back, and I have to say, over the break, one of the funniest... Well, first of all, Brandon did an episode of WATP, which was great.
I did appear on there, yeah, with some crappy equipment. I gotta get some better microphones next time for home. I apologize for that, Carl, but I did love being on the show.
Sound like Stuttering
you
John.
You sounded great, Brandon. You were great.
Stuttering John, how long has he been saying he's going to get his
I'm going to get a new
fixed?
Laptop soon.
He doesn't even make excuses when the video goes out anymore. He just says,
got to get this thing to the shop.
He doesn't even say he's going to get a new one. He's going to get it fixed. He's been saying it for 3 months. I got to get this thing back to the Mac Shack.
I'm going to take it to the shop.
I
got to
get it fixed.
Carl, can you get a supercut of John threatening people? There's
so
many. I can
get this from today's show. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous.
But it would be really funny just to see the actual threats. He threatens to sue or beat up virtually everyone.
Well, today he was on a rant. I was just watching this a second ago, where he's explaining he knows every member of my family's name and where they live, but he's not going to do anything. But he knows where all of them live. And he's just talking about my dad. I'm like, what does this mean? How am I supposed to react to this?
And one of the funniest things I saw over the break, I was laughed out loud repeatedly, is you guys covering John doing his first show, or one of his first shows, after he quit again. He comes back, and his first show at his mom's place. And as soon as he starts, the phone starts ringing. And then, Mike, could you unplug that phone, or turn off the phone, or pick it up and leave it off the hook or something, which is, that's no way to do it. And then... like 2 seconds later, the phone's ringing again. It's another phone. Mom, plug the phone upstairs. Mom. And then as soon as she gets that done, there's another phone ringing. How was the phone ringing constantly for the next 20 minutes? And you guys were just, it was so fucking funny.
If that was a comedy movie, you'd go, okay, no one's this dumb. You wouldn't believe it. And it was great because Anthony Cumia hopped on. Last minute, he sent me a note. I didn't realize he was around. So he hopped on and he hadn't seen that yet. So... he was just dying, just watching his pure joy over John getting pranked over and over again. It was so fun.
How does everyone have his mom's phone number?
Well, because it's a landline. I think it's just in the phone book. I think you just look it up. Right?
Yeah.
If you know her name, I think you just look it up.
And she's had the same number probably for 100 years, so she probably doesn't want to change it. But then he gets mad at her at one point. He's like, how many fucking phones do you have, Mom?
He's so mean to his mom.
Yeah, that's great.
How many phones does she have? She's got to have at least 4, right?
Well, yeah, definitely, because it's so funny because he finally like picks one up and takes it off the hook. And then he's like, all right, we're done with this. And you just hear one from coming from upstairs. And he's like, Ma, how many phones do you have in this house? It's so funny.
That was one of my favorite episodes. It was good to see Anthony. He's all mended now. He's had his open heart surgery.
Yes, and he's down in his new house in South Carolina. And I guess he's going to be back on his show tomorrow from South Carolina.
Wow. Well, did he have quadruple bypass?
Quadruple bypass. He's very lucky. He saw someone when he did. Whoa. It was touch and go there for a minute.
AIDS!
So he just went to the doctor? He didn't have so collapse or something?
His heart, he woke up, his heart was going 300 beats per minute or something.
Jesus.
And so, yeah, he got an ambulance right to the emergency room, and they couldn't put stents in. It was bad. So they had to find like veins from different parts of your body and then attach those to your heart. He was describing the whole thing on his show. It sounds awful.
Yeah, it sounded pretty brutal, and he was definitely down for the count there for a while. But I'm excited today because Carl is going through the golden hour, which I saw this thing start. This is, who are the three guys? Chris D'Elia, Brendan Schaub.
Chris D'Elia, Brendan Schaub, Eric Griffin. I hate all three of these guys for different reasons. And I know we've talked about this show before, but we haven't really done a deep dive on here, and I thought it was an appropriate thing to do because – this video is the last one they did before the Christmas break. It's their Christmas special. It has 108,000 views, which, is way down from back when Theo Vaughn was on the show.
And this is just the leftovers of Theo. Once Theo Vaughn left, they lost 3/4 of the viewership, and they just decided to try to wring every last dollar out of what was left, it seems to me, right?
Yep. They're still going. They still have the sponsors, and they probably had long contracts, so they still are reading the ad reads and everything else. And these guys have no chemistry. If you watched any of this, it's as if each guy is doing their own show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it's so bad, Carl. It feels so phoned in. In fact, I'm starting to feel, because I'm watching podcast Cringe and Comedy Enforcement and somebody Too Lazy to Try, which are all about comedian podcasts. I'm starting to feel like all of these shows are totally phoned in. There's no effort whatsoever. And in a lot of cases, I'm finding it makes the comedians less likable when you watch them.
Well, and it makes me think, so for me, I grew up with Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony and sports talk and political talk. And I just understand how radio works. These guys, it doesn't seem like they listen to the radio growing up because they're all talking over each other and none of it makes sense. They're all trying to be hilarious all the time. They don't seem to have studied what it means to have a show or be a broadcaster.
Not at all. Let me give you an example, not to get off the golden hour much, but I became aware of, not terribly long ago, and I should have known him sooner, Andrew Schultz, who's extremely successful comedian. Yep. And then we saw the video of him taking his dad to Madison Square Garden to say, "Dad, I'm playing Madison Square Garden," which I thought was really hokey. But
awkward.
Then I became aware of his podcast. His podcast is horrible. He interrupts everyone. When people interrupt him, he's kind of like, wait, let me finish. He is the worst host. I think it's a horrible podcast. And it has millions and millions of views. Tom Segura is another one. I mean, I can't believe how much I don't like these guys from watching their podcasts. And I like their stand-up.
I have a Tom Segura update.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, so remember, obviously, the last time I was on here, I was talking about how people are down on Tom because he hates poor people.
Yes, the poor.
He calls them out all the time. The poor. And the problem with it is that he's like calling out his own fan base because he used to be a man of the people.
Yeah.
And now he's super rich and wealthy and tends to flaunt it. Well, it turns out that he's trying to make a change here. I think he announced that he has some type of network deal. I don't know if it's Netflix or Amazon Prime or something, but I think probably a publicist or someone got to him and said, "Tom, you're starting to get a lot of hate. It's going to be tough to go mainstream with this." So I don't think we talked about his tweets to American Airlines when I was on here last time.
No.
Do we didn't? Maybe we covered it on the show. I thought, or maybe I just read about it, but no, it was hideous.
If you want to pull up, Mark, I sent you the screenshot of the OG tweet he put to American Airlines. Yep. And this would be fun to read for everybody. This is back in October. He posted this.
"Dumb cunt from American Air made me gate check my bag so she feels the little power she has in her life. I get it. You win this round, cunt."
An asshole.
Wow.
Yeah. So then people were responding to him like, "Hey, you know, she's doing her job. This is what she has to do. I know that you think you're better than everyone else, but you kind of got to go along with that stuff. That's air travel for you. Listen, I've been very frustrated with American Airlines in the past few months. So I get it, but I don't start calling individual people C-words.
So were those two gay guys, too, where he's like, "Attention, American Airlines." Yeah. They fucked us over.
Oh, this guy right here?
Yeah.
"Hello, the girls. Everybody. Justin, American Airlines fucked us over."
It's the best video.
So great.
No, I'm going to play that "Who Are These Socials" this week for sure. It's so funny.
Shelby and Dolly.
Shelby and Dolly.
So take a look. I posted some more of his tweets I have another screenshot where he's responding to people.
Can you read that,
Mark? Yeah, let me zoom in on it. Sorry. There you go.
"The lowest level pores get upset, as they've been trained to do, when you point out their happy to do what I'm told servant mentality. They don't value time because their time is worthless. You are specks of shit on a washcloth, and washcloths belong in the trash."
What an asshole.
The pores.
Dick.
Well, then someone wrote this to him. "Calling a service worker a C-word for doing her job. Like you think she had options. She's just sitting there in charge of checking bags. It's the callousness you may know that." And he just wrote "poor" and pointed down to the tweet.
He's just calling people poor.
Yeah, there's another one. Go ahead and read that one, Drew.
"All the poors and losers have the same response. Oh, you were inconvenienced. Well, you should accept it. That's what me and my dumb poor family have done for generations." That's why you're a poor.
What an asshole.
A poor. Did I miss something? When did people start calling groups of people the poors? Is that new?
Well, no, India, I think, a couple centuries ago.
I'm not familiar with that term. Or I'm not with people like Tom Segura using it, certainly.
Well, I have an update on this. He has deleted every tweet from the month of October. All gone. He wiped them out.
Oh,
he goes from early September to November, if you go to his Twitter timeline.
You know, I'm amazed he didn't delete those sooner. What an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took him that long?
And it's gone.
Figure out how stupid that was.
We must have thought this was working for him, that this was some funny thing that he had going. And I think he's finally come around on the fact that it's not winning people over.
Yeah.
Well, I find him so unlikable. I find Bert Kreischer incredibly unlikable. Andrew Schultz might be the worst. And Steve-O has even been annoying the shit out of me because I've been just trying to watch more comedian podcasts. But Steve-O plugging his Steve-O's butt wipes all the time. And he's a nonstop self-promotional machine. And then his appearance on...
What can I say? I love buttholes.
His appearance on Danny the Rapper, Danny Brown.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, where he asks him what he does on stage. He has no idea who the host is or what he does. He just sounds so narcissistic. It's horrible. And I love Steve-O.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear you say that because everything I've been checking out with Steve-O, it's not a lot, but the things that I've seen him on, I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I generally have too, but I've just really, he's been promoting the shit out of this this latest special of his, and he won't stop, and he doesn't know who he's talking to, and he just talks and goes on and on about himself. Now, when he's doing his own show, I think he generally does a damn good job. I mean, I've seen some great shows. Has anyone seen his special, by the way?
Mm-mm. No.
God, that's funny. For all he's promoted it, none of us have seen it. There's one spot, and I've seen him promote this about six times, where he's jumping out of a plane and he beats off to completion while he's flying through the air.
Pretty good bit.
Yeah, I agree. I want to see that. I think it'd be hard to
there's
get...
There's a guy who should have an OnlyFans account. Are you kidding me?
Wouldn't it be hard to get hard while you're parachuting?
Where did it land?
Right?
It seems like it'd be all over him.
Yeah, it caught up to him after he landed.
Really awkward weather report. Gross.
So, anyways, I'm watching The Golden Hour, Carl. I was getting the feel that this is one of these morning shows that Opie and Anthony would make fun of repeatedly, and a lot of people. The way they get into the whole thing of movies that you must see, it sounded like, let's take some calls. Everybody call in. And then, of course, the person on the show that hasn't seen it, oh, my God, I can't believe you haven't seen it. I mean, it just sounded like a bad morning show from the 90s.
Yeah, I got the same sense because it reminds me of, you know, the guys are all having their conversation about movies, and then they're like, call in after the break. We'll be talking to you guys. What you think of the movies you have to see?
Exactly.
And so the format of the show is they have these videos that viewers send in asking them questions. Now, over an hour and 5 minutes, there's two of these, but that is supposed to be the show format. So 36 minutes in, this is my track number 10, Mark. 36 okay. minutes in, they finally take a question from a viewer.
I think I missed this.
What's up, Golden Hour crew? Mm-hmm. Don't mind the hair or the frizz.
You look fine, bro.
It is what it is. Got a debate club for you guys. What movie have you not seen that would make people mad?
Oh, me, dude.
Personally, anytime somebody asks me if I've seen The Godfather, and I say no, all hell breaks loose. It's fucking crazy. And it's like crazy. The one movie my girl has seen. Besides every other movie, I ask her, oh, have you seen Fight Club? No. Oh, have you seen, you know, any other movie? She never watches it. The one movie she watched, Godfather, I haven't seen. Unfortunately, I've seen clips of it.
That's weird.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it.
Right, shut up.
I know, this question's going on forever.
Anyway, Fight Club, what movie have you not seen that people just can't stand that you haven't seen?
Oh, bro.
All the Avengers.
So you notice Chris D'Elia wants to answer that question, yeah. And immediately Brennan cuts him off.
Yep.
Just interrupts him.
Yeah. I love the look.
The Avengers.
Chris looks pissed about it, too. That's right. That's after you interrupt him. Yeah.
Carl, I'm going to try not to steal your thunder here, but I'm afraid I will. but I'll just not be specific. Brendan Schaub's picks are so bad.
Yeah. In Brendan's a moron. And actually, I'm going to highlight how dumb he is when they have to do the name game. Oh, the name game's a fun thing. They have to go around and name Christmas songs for as long as they can.
Oh, God. Boring.
Carl, he suggested as movies you must see that people would yell at you, he said Tango and Cash.
I think he was joking about that one.
Are you sure?
I think that one he was trying to be funny. But he did say some other ones that were just like, no, that one cares.
Okay,
about
he
that.
Said Sandlot, which I know Brandon would agree with. And La La Land. And
La La Land?
What are you talking about, Schaub? He didn't understand the concept at all.
The Sandlot had a big part of my youth, but I wouldn't put it up there with the top five greatest films.
Yeah, like
of
people
all
are
going
to yell at you if you haven't seen Sandlot? I mean...
Well, we got you and I got yelled at when we said we haven't seen Sandlot.
I know.
Good point.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
It's just crazy how stupid he is.
Back to the last clip. Do they not bother editing these videos? That just, or they just play them as
I get
is?
The same thing with my voicemails, and I'm sure, Brandon, you hear this too from time to time. People feel like they need to be verbose for some reason. Just ask the question and get out. It's fine. You don't have to keep explaining it over and over again. And then my girlfriend saw this movie, but not this movie.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
We got the question.
The guy apologizes for his hair.
All right. So now Chris is going to answer the question of a movie that he's seen that when he says he hasn't seen it, people go nuts on him. And Eric Griffin is a moron. Interrupts him because he wants to try to guess it. This is my track number 11.
Oh, hang on. I just screwed something up here. No, it's on me. I don't know why I lost him. I just lost everything. Okay, give me a second.
Yeah, I'll give you a second.
My whole screen is frozen.
What's dumb about this is Chris goes, all right, I'll tell you a movie. And Eric goes, hold on a second. Let me try to guess. What are the chances that you're going to guess the movie he hasn't seen that he's about to say? What's the point of that?
Pretty small. I don't know.
Yeah, it's annoying.
What is the point? Just to involve yourself in it?
I guess. Just to be part of the conversation.
Ugh. I mean, are you having trouble, Mark?
Yeah, just give me a
second. Going back to the beginning of the show, just to kill some time here.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much time they spent about what they want for Christmas. They're all men in their 40s, aren't they?
Yeah, and Brendan Schaub seems to be the guy who throws out the dumb conversation starters.
Yeah.
And he'll even say stuff like, I didn't even pull this clip, but he'll even say stuff like, okay, what's a gift you wanted to get when you were younger, but you didn't get it? It's like, who cares?
That's hard to answer. That's not an easy question to answer if you really think about it.
But it's also like one of those things where, are we going to go to the phones next and ask them what they didn't get for Christmas? What's your favorite Halloween candy? Whatever.
I have your track 11. Is that the one you want to hear?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the test of time. But every time I say I haven't seen this movie, people lose their fucking minds.
Oh, I want to lose.
Can I guess?
I don't think you will, but
it's
okay.
You said it's a newer movie?
Yeah.
My other one I was thinking of Sixth Sense.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
No, this one's even newer than that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You said new, that's what I remember.
What Women Want.
Nope. I've seen that.
Biodome.
No.
Airheads.
No, I'll just tell you.
We don't want you to know. We want to guess for the rest of the show.
Step Brothers.
What Women Want?
Well, I think that was a joke. I hope that was a joke.
Was it? Are you sure?
Oh, I would hope so.
I guess I miss his humor. Because everything he said was stupid. He's kidding.
I just love that he just throws out the Sixth Sense. That's just him wanting to mention the Sixth Sense.
Who would yell at someone for not seeing the Sixth Sense? That's unbelievable.
Well, who would interrupt it to guess because they just want to say their movie that popped into their head?
Well, then Chris goes on to say he hasn't seen Step Brothers. He hasn't seen a bunch of these comedies. He goes, I don't watch comedies because I'm funny. I'm hilarious
off.
At home. I don't need to watch comedies.
Oh, what a
no, that was the most incredibly arrogant, ridiculous thing. You don't want to study the craft of comedy in movie form, which is the form people take it in the most, probably? That's how stupid.
So then in my track number 12, they're trying to list all the movies that you should see.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
This could go on for days if you let it happen.
Titanic's
Oh!
Oh, never seen Titanic.
Oh. No!
You're gay, bro!
No!
Oh, my God. You've never seen Titanic?
And won't. I won't watch it.
Oh, my God.
Titanic's so good, dude.
I'm sure it's good.
It's worth a watch.
I'll watch it.
That makes me not want to watch it, but yeah.
Doesn't that feel like a bad morning show? Really?
Yeah, everyone's doing voices. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Eric Griffin has to sing all the time. I have other examples of that. It's super annoying. But as long as they just make a reference to something, like Leonardo DiCaprio, you just throw out a reference. Like, okay, yeah, that's relevant. Cool. But the fact that that guy's stupid video call-in turns into this whole long bit. And even Chris D'Elia at this point, now we're like 12 minutes in on this, as they're all screaming out movies and arguing about it. This is my track number 13. Even Chris is like, all right, we need to move on.
10 things I hate about you. First of all, the way it's filmed, like the guy does a lot of one shot, long shots.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
Oh, actually. You got to see this. That shit is classic. That's a fucking insane. Classic. That's a classic.
Are we
teen
talking
movie.
About this too much, though?
No.
Oh, I got one for you.
What?
Calm down.
We've said a lot of movies.
Everyone,
calm
down.
We've said a lot of movies, and it is a Christmas episode. It has nothing to do
hold
with
hold on, last
okay,
one.
Jingle all the way.
Ready?
Jingle all the way.
Fuck you. Hey, Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, go. That's a talk huge about classic.
Oh, Brendan Schaub's Jamar. That movie sucks.
See, I don't know why he's
just like, I got it now. You guys talk. Like, no, we don't care.
Well, I love the fact that they were done with the bit and moving on. And he goes, oh, I got one.
It's just the worst movie.
And by the way, the 10 Things I Hate About You is a total chick flick. And he's talking about how it was shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. You don't think they're teaching that in film school? Like, oh, 10 Things I Hate About You. What?
My God.
Crazy. You need to watch. Have you seen it, bro?
I have seen it. It never dawned on me how it was shot, nor did I care. It's like, this is a chick flick.
Yeah, it's stupid.
You're watching with a chick, and you're probably not interested. It's 2 hours. You're just dreamweavering.
Let's back up to the cold open. This show always starts with a cold open, and it's a joke that you're going to hear in the episode.
Oh, okay.
And this is proof that these guys think as long as people are laughing, that equals funny. Because this cold open has no context to it. You have no idea what's going on here.
And then that's when your parents have to go, okay.
We tried.
Yeah. Santa's not real.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
We're friends that laugh. We're friends that shout. Sometimes we don't know what we're talking about.
It seems like a parody, doesn't it?
Well, the intro, I think, is supposed
to be a parody, yeah.
Okay. But Eric Griffin's little introduction in the theme song, I hate Eric Griffin. He is anti-comedy in the show. He's track awful. Number two, this is his hilarious bit in the opening sequence.
Nothing can stop us. Ooh.
Oh, God.
He's walking out of the stall, and he must have just had a really smelly poop because he's like, whoa, it's so sticky in here. Am I right, people?
Yeah, but
pretty clever.
But then we caught him, and look how happy he is about it.
Oh, you got me. I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, God, I hate that guy. I don't even know him. I just hate him.
I only know him from
clips.
Workaholics. He was in Workaholics. That's it.
Is that a series?
Yeah, that was a series on Comedy Central. I like that one.
Yeah.
So these three guys, and Delia sells out pretty significant venues for his comedy, but this show can only draw like 100,000 people on YouTube, and that's it?
Yeah, because, like I said, first off, Chris D'Elia is not funny in any way. He's so stupid, and Eric Griffin also is never funny. He's only annoying. So Chris D'Elia is probably the biggest draw here, and he's one of the most hateable comedians in the world right now.
Right.
That's not a good thing.
But you put the power of three careers that were significant at one time or another, and that's all they get. They were doing a million people with Theo Von. That's why I would think the imaging alone would be so much that they wouldn't want to do this.
I agree. I'm surprised that they're still doing this. They wouldn't try to tweak it or something.
Hey, I got another movie. What about Platoon? You guys seen Platoon?
They didn't mention Platoon. They mentioned every other movie but Platoon. Maybe it's because, Drew, there's four producers on the show. You see they have the other camera shot. Yeah. They show four guys working on this. Maybe they're trying to keep those guys employed, which good on them, I guess. But it doesn't make sense to me they're still doing this.
Okay, I want to ask this because I really don't know the answer. What about Theo Von makes that show go from 100,000 to a million views? What is so hot about Theo Von? And I don't dislike him. I think he seems like a good guy.
Yeah, Theo Von is a good podcaster. People really like him. I think Theo Von is one of the personalities that's real. One of the things that you notice when you're watching this is these guys are all putting on a show. They're all putting on an act. They're not
performing
themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just performing the whole time. I think Theo Von people can relate to a little bit more.
Yeah, I find him very likable. I just didn't think he was that special that he could do that many bodies, but he's doing it, and he's doing it on his own. When he goes on other podcasts, he's a huge draw, so he's doing something right, big time.
You might notice, too, Brendan Schaub is just the funniest comic you'll ever find. He is wearing an ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's still a thing.
Thank you.
It's still fucking hilarious. They sell those things at Target now. It's the joke's over. We get it.
It's played out.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Eric Griffin, how much he sucks. Yes, my track number three here, this is him just singing Silent Night.
No.
And it's at the beginning of the episode. And you can tell Chris is like, dude, can you just shut up? And he won't.
Look at how this clip starts. You can think, Eric thinks whatever he's doing is hilarious. The stare from Delia.
Not many guitars in Christmas songs, huh?
Yeah. No.
A lot of bells.
All of it's Michael Bublé.
A lot of bells. I will say, I saw something on, since this is a Christmas episode, I saw something on line, or no, it was on the news actually, and it said that, you know, yep. it said that Frosty the Snowman.
Oh man, he's getting so pissed.
Well, you can tell he's having a hard time remembering what he's saying. He's just like, oh my God, is this guy just going to keep singing right now? What is he doing? Why is he doing this?
Yeah, he doesn't seem fully satisfied until the camera is on him, if he knows that. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't.
Guy loves he loves his own singing voice, clearly.
He sings a ton in this. And if you want to skip to my number nine, here's an example, again, of these guys just cut each other off. There's no chemistry here, and it's a very difficult conversation to even follow what's going on.
Well, there's laws.
I stop.
Speed limits, too. There's speed
but electric car is not a law.
I stop.
They're trying to make it a law. That's the issue.
Saying
it's better for the environment.
I stop.
I don't think that they're saying it's better for
that was their initial
I'm not going to finish that sentence and nobody will ever get to hear it. No, it's okay. It wasn't even really that interesting. No, it's okay. No, it wasn't your fault. I kind of bitched out on it nine times and I'm done.
Oh, yeah. He's a little salty about that.
These are people who have no idea how to put on a show together.
No.
Like, guys, there's three of you. Figure it out. One person talks at a time. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, there's no one leading the show. I think it's just a battle of egos.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, I pulled my track number four is just an ISO for you guys if you want to use this in the future on the show.
Wow, that's funny.
I love it.
Very dismissive. Okay, let's get back into Eric Griffin. My track number five here. This guy is so freaking corny. They're talking about, like you were saying, Christmas gifts that they might get or want as adults. And so Eric Griffin says, what if you guys tried to buy me prescription glasses, but you didn't know what my prescription was?
And I wouldn't buy them.
And he acts this out.
Eric will throw anything
like
on
you give me
face,
like, but... if you got me prescription glasses, you didn't even know.
They're not the right prescription.
I just get, oh, thanks, Chris.
I got a headache. I got a
headache.
Whoa, these are dope, dude. Thank you.
I look great.
Yeah. I'll deal with the headache.
Hey, Nick, why are you over here? It's like, why would I? Yeah.
Huh? God. Really?
Huh? Professional comedians, everybody.
Wow. He likes acting things out.
God, he's terrible.
He likes doing, yeah, he likes overacting.
Now, Drew, I bet you enjoyed all the Elf on the Shelf talk.
Oh, yeah.
That was going out of this hilarious.
Fantastic.
So they're talking about this. They're explaining how it works. And our buddy Eric Griffin comes up with a hilarious scenario because Chris D'Elia is talking about his son, who's like three, I think, or something like that. His son's really into his Elf on the Shelf and carries it around with him everywhere he goes. Really excited about it. So this is the comedic mind of Eric Griffin, my track number six here.
What if your kid could like time jump real quick? Mm-hmm. So it's like Calvin's dealing with this mm-hmm. elf thing mm-hmm. and then he could be like 19 yeah. like this. Mm-hmm. Can you just imagine the conversation? Like instantly he becomes 19 and has a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what?
Some stupid
you
shit.
You fucking lying to me? Yeah. You know what I mean? They could do that?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Oh, man. Brandon, I don't think you were paying attention. What if this 3-year-old could time jump?
Yeah, and then talk
and then
to
be 19?
Yeah.
And he knows his dad is lying to him.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff, right? Now you understand what we're talking about, Brandon?
You know what I hate about this? It's making me like Chris D'Elia more. Like, look at that shot on his face. He's like,
what am I doing here?
Exactly. Who is this guy? Why does he keep talking?
I don't get it still.
Well, Chris D'Elia annoyed me in this conversation, too, because he talks about how he's told that Santa makes all the toys and you get everything Santa made. And then he says, he tested it by saying, well, I want a remote control chopper. And then they say, well, Santa's not real. And I just thought it was he's just showing what a brilliant child he was.
Yeah, because he's serious about that, too. He goes, yeah, but I figured it out. Because if he's got a workshop, he can build anything, even things that don't exist. So I ask for stuff that doesn't exist, like a Bill Murray doll.
Yeah, and all the toys, why are they Mattel if Santa builds them all?
Come on. What a dick.
Just dragging out a dumb topic.
Well, then they start talking about the Cybertruck, because I guess Chris D'Elia saw one somewhere. And it's weird. The Tesla talk on this show is bizarre to me. Chris D'Elia says he doesn't like Tesla because he thinks that the cars look like they come off an assembly line. Are people building one car at a time anywhere? I think Henry Ford figured this one out.
Yeah,
I had no idea what he was talking about, honestly. This is weird.
That was really stupid. But anyway, so they're talking about the Cybertruck. They're showing what it looks like. And this is Brendan Schaub wearing his ugly Christmas sweater with this gem. This is track number 8.
Here, I think it looks cool.
If you were on the moon, this would look great.
I think this looks kind of cool. But, bro, if you see it in person, first of all,
is it awkward? It looks awkward.
It's very awkward. It's so long, bro. And it's
that's what she said.
And it is so oh my God. Sharp.
I made a note of that, Carl.
Oh, my God.
That's what she said joke in 2023. Oh, my God. Tough. Wow.
It seemed like it was so reflexive for him, too. Like
yeah.
He couldn't let us do
it. I think people that make that joke do it reflexively.
Yeah. Which that was the joke with The Office is how reflexively he would, Carell's character would say.
Correct. Yeah. It's someone who's not funny, who does not have a personality. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Brendan Schaub. Yeah. Okay. Now I want to get into my package here of Christmas music that really highlights how dumb Brendan Schaub is as a human being. This is an adult man in his 40s. And I can't believe, so they start talking about Christmas music, and Crystalia says, I'm going to say something. I like Christmas music. And he thinks that Brendan Schaub's going to be down on it. And, well, he kind of is until he finds out what Christmas music actually is. It's track 14.
But I love Christmas music, dude. I love Christmas music.
I don't like Michael Bublé. He makes me very angry.
That is different than Christmas music.
Dude, he's Mr. Christmas.
Well, okay, but there are a lot of Mr. Christmases. Everyone Clay has a Aiken. Christmas album. Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. I mean, it goes along. The list is long.
Now I'm on board.
Oh, Jesus.
What? He thought Michael Bublé was the only one who said Christmas songs for some reason.
Is that weird?
Look at his face. What?
So weird. It's
bizarre. Is he getting hate views?
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage of their views are hate views. He said one other thing, Carl, and you're going to probably tell me that he was kidding. When they were talking about important movies and he mentioned Menace to Society, was that a joke too?
That one I think was real. I think he was being honest about that one. Yeah.
That would be a top 10? Really?
Well, the other thing that's happening in this episode, I didn't want to key in on because I don't know enough about it. Brendan Schaub just started a new show about cars.
Oh, it gets no views. It's dead in the water.
Well, you would think he's a big gearhead, except for he knows nothing about cars. He just likes driving them.
Yes.
So he has this show where he just like drives cars around and can't answer a question about them. Doesn't know shit. So then on this show, as they're talking about Tesla, they're talking about these different cars. He's trying to show off. He's like, oh, that's a piece of shit. That thing's great. So stupid.
Carl, the gearheads get so mad at him in the comments.
Yeah. So, can you even change your oil? And he's just like, no, why would I change my oil?
The show does like 5,000 views, I think. So I'm serious.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And so, I think there's probably more views of the subreddit talking about that show than there are of that show because everyone's clowning him on that one.
Is there anyone who came through the Rogan chain that has less views or interest than Brendan Schaub?
I mean, as far as regulars from that show, probably not.
I mean, Joe doesn't always have the best taste, but I mean, it just seems he made, I think I read, over 100 appearances on the Joe Rogan show.
Yeah, he was number one up until recently anyway. I think it's because, you know, they got the MMA angle and Joe does tons of MMA shows, but then also the fact that he fancied himself a comic, so that's like best of both worlds right there for Joe.
Hey, this is off topic, Carl, but do you have any idea what is the Brendan Schaub story with Kalila and Bobby Lee?
Yeah, I do know that. So when Bobby Lee and Kalila were together, they were dating.
Yeah.
Brendan Schaub, married man, family, tried to get her phone number or give her his phone number. And so Kalila brought this up on the show, that other show she does with the other ladies.
Trash Tuesday.
And she just made a comment. She's like, well, there's a guy that we all know who tried to pick me up. He's a married man. He knows I'm with Bobby. Tried to pick me up. And they're like, well, is he a comedian? She goes, not really. And so immediately all of the internet knew who she was talking about. It did come out. That's what she was talking about.
And never went further than that.
Oh, no. I mean, there were tons of episodes. Bobby Lee had him on the show. He apologized. All this stuff happened around that. That's about a year ago that all went down. It was pretty funny. Oh, and, of course, Bobby and Kalila have since broken up. So
yeah. And that show Trash Tuesday. Kind of shit. Trash Tuesday is down to about 40,000 views. Oof, yeah.
That's rough.
It has about, I want to say like 400,000 subscribers.
Yeah. It's the female version of this show. It's just three women all doing their own show.
Yeah, no, it's awful. But they got, I think Bobby Lee was on the first episode, and then they would get Bobby's friends on, and they would do enormous numbers. And now, even when they have, you know, Mark Normand on or somebody, they might get 150. If it's the three of them, it's like 45,000.
I noticed, it's funny you say that, because I was looking at their page the other day, and I noticed the thumbnail for Mark Normand. It's his face about two-thirds of the photo, and then the women who host the show just tiny below him as the thumb.
No, it just it angers me as somebody, you know, who desperately would love to do a bigger show, to see that, oh, man, if you just get the help of somebody with a giant platform, then you get giant views, too, until you, of course, blow them all, until the majority of that audience says, oh, but I hate you, even though I tried you. I mean, it's amazing how many people will try a show because she's Bobby Lee's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, well, you're watching those podcast Cringe and Two Ways to Try and those shows, and they've been pointing out lately that it seems like all of these shows are losing their numbers from when everyone was trapped indoors during the pandemic.
Yeah.
That's when these shows were really taking off and building huge audiences, and now people are going to work again and they have other things to do and they can go out. So they're just not watching these YouTube shows as much.
Well, but I also appreciate shows that are able to build from the ground up, which is very, very hard to do. I mean, but people people do it. You don't get 500,000 people right away on your first show, though.
Yeah, if you don't have a name, obviously that's not going to happen. But there are shows like Are You Garbage? And there's a bunch of shows that these people are making millions of dollars and they came from nowhere, but they had a good show concept. They put the work in, they built an audience the right way, and you can be successful. That's what's really cool about the internet.
No, I agree.
Is you can be successful if you do it the right way. It's just annoying all these asshats who get on Joe Rogan and then phone it in. Speaking of phoning it in, let's talk about the name game. This is the signature bit on here. So they have to go around and name Christmas songs. And so it goes 1-1-1, and then whoever can't get stumped, they're out of it, and see who's going to win. So this is, now we're going to go to Brendan Schaub's turn, and we're going to see how stupid he is. At this point, they've named maybe 6 songs, all right, that are off the table.
Is this 15?
I'm sorry, yes, 15.
Oh, what's some of Frank Sinatra's slappers for the Christmas one? Michael Bublé's, Clay Aiken's, Mariah Carey's.
Use your limit on saying Michael
Bublé. What about Mariah Carey's Christmas special?
Clay Aiken?
Mariah Carey's Christmas
She's Missed Christmas.
Yeah, but you have to say
what the fucking song.
Mariah Carey's Christmas,
White Christmas
special.
White Christmas.
Hey, oh my god.
What an idiot.
Oh my god. What are some of Frank Sinatra's slappers? I don't know. You tell me there, Brendan. I'm not sure.
This is so bad morning show. It's amazing to me.
Well, between the three of them, they come up with 10 Christmas songs, then they're all stumped. 10.
Oh, my God.
And this is a regular bit?
The name game is, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It reminds me, years ago, I was watching Two Bears, One Cave, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, and Bert goes, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a great bit. Let's try to name all the presidents. This is going to go viral. This is going to be amazing. And they didn't know any presidents. So the point.
Wow.
It went nowhere. It's so stupid. Why would you have a game on your show that proves how dumb you are? I don't understand that. But let's remember, though, guys, that these are comics. They're professional comedians unlike us. So when they get to riffing, they get to riffing. They're doing a bit where they're looking at all of these silly college football player names. And they start scrolling through this list, and boy, do they have some great jokes.
Oh my Dodge God. Saucer? Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a car.
The new Dodge Saucer.
The new Toyota Dodge Saucer. 0-60.
Fish McWilliams? Jesus
he looks
Christ.
Like a fish. Oh my
That sounds God. Like a white name.
Fish McWilliams, dude?
That's something you can get that at McDonald's. I'll get one Fish McWilliams. Can I give a Fish McWilliams to the guy in the Dodge fucking what was it?
Saucer.
Dodge Saucer.
Oh my god. You know what the best part about that clip is?
No Brendan Schaub. He's
gone. I don't know where he went. He's just not there.
Brendan Schaub goes, oh, my Uber's here, gotta go, and just leaves.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What?
Brendan Schaub's over. It's kinda weird.
Wow.
I'm stunned
they don't try harder. They still have 100,000 people watching. You'd think they would try harder than this.
What's so annoying there is he goes, Dodge Saucer, that sounds like a car.
Yeah.
And Eric, the idiot, goes, yeah, the Toyota Dodge Saucer. So Dodge is why it sounds like a car, dummy. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to throw in Toyota on there.
And both of those jokes are just based on the first name and what they are, Dodge and Fish.
Fish McWilliams. Oh, my God. That's like food.
Hilarious.
Is Eric making a living from comedy?
Yes.
Definitely. He is? Really?
A good one?
Are you sure?
He's promoting his stand-up and stuff. He's doing a casino outside of Albuquerque. He was promoting. So people know his name. He's okay. Got name recognition. He can do shows.
I mean, I'm kind of stunned that Chris D'Elia still has an audience and that Brendan Schaub does, but I know they do. But him, I would not really believe he can make a living doing this. By the way, this is off the topic, but did you notice, did Chris D'Elia at one point mention that his wife has a YouTube page channel?
Oh, I don't know. He was talking about his wife a lot, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought he mentioned that she had a YouTube channel, and then he couldn't come up with the name of the channel.
Oh, no. That's not good. He probably knows his girlfriend's YouTube channels and TikToks and Snapchat.
But, you know, all of this about Chris D'Elia talking about his kids and Christmas and his wife and what's his kid's name? Is it Travis or?
I can't Colin? Remember.
Anyway, I would think if he had any self-awareness at all, he would just talk a lot less about the topic until some time goes by.
Yeah, I know. The family talk, he's trying to convince us he's such a family guy, and that's all he cares about. And he just loves his kids so much, and he's such a great dad and husband.
Calvin is his
Calvin
kid's name.
Calvin.
Yeah, and no, there's no way. I just saw a documentary that came out just a few months ago talking about how he was still doing this stuff, where he is trying to make a cult of young women who will just fuck him and do whatever he wants. And so for him to be talking about this stuff on the, it just is like, I just get real cringed because I feel like it's total bullshit. I can't believe anyone believes it. And I'm shocked that he's trying to pull it off.
On my show, The Creep Off with Vinny Paulino, you know, I do a true crime show for guys. And we do this thing on our bonus shows. We've created a Creep Off Hall of Fame. And so we put it out to vote and people voted on Chris D'Elia. So we inducted him into the Creep Off Hall of Fame. And I did a deep dive on what this guy's up to. And it's unbelievable that he's not in prison.
Yeah.
With having women brand themselves and all of the shit, you know, underage stuff, all of the shit that we've seen other docs about these. I mean, he literally is running a cult.
Why is he talking about his wife and kid then? Why is he trying to fool people? I mean, that's really deviant. I mean, he just seems like.
Gaslighting us, Drew.
Yes, I'm very angry.
I'm not going to buy it. I'm not buying it.
But but there seems to have been no punishment for him, Carl. I mean, I guess he lost a Netflix show. But he still plays, you know, he does his stand-up and sells tickets and does very well.
Yeah, he's off of all mainstream stuff. He had a lot of roles on TV shows.
Yeah, that's true.
He had Netflix specials and things like that. So he's definitely been taken off of that.
Yeah, they pulled the Workaholics episode that he's in with Eric.
Right, yes.
I forgot that they were in that one. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm just surprised that he is as unscathed as he is. I know he suffered, but I'm surprised. I would think some of these venues would not want him on their marquee. Yeah.
It's worse than that because he's done episodes where he complains about getting canceled and cancel culture.
Yeah.
It's like that. This is very different, sir. What you are up to, you're lucky you're still online. You're not, he thinks he's Alex Jones or something. It's like, no, that's not what this is.
Now, is it simply because he hasn't been convicted of anything? Because he has not been convicted, but we know what he's been up to. It's not, there's not just a couple people saying this.
I you know what it is? When you're in comedy, as long as you can still book shows and you still have an audience, you can still have whatever career you're going to have.
You don't have a boss.
Louis C.K. came back.
But it seems to me, Louis C.K., I mean, he's really been shunned in a lot of ways, though, hasn't he?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Louis C.K. was the writer, you know, TV shows, movies. He had so much going on, and he lost it all. But he could still tour and do comedy, and he could put out his own specials. People will buy it.
Yes. However, I just want to say this. Louis C.K. is 10 times funnier than Chris D'Elia.
Everyone is. We all are 10 times funnier than Chris D'Elia.
I mean, I'm not demanding he be canceled. I'm just surprised he does as well as he does.
Well, he's got an audience similar to, like, I would say Matt Rife. Women really enjoy him.
Yeah. Oh, God, so that's ridiculous.
I think that the women go to the shows and the guys want, it's like ladies' night at the comedy club. So then the guys want to be there because the women are there. Maybe they're getting dragged. Maybe they just want to go. So I think it's a similar thing where like you and I watch Matt Rife. I go, I don't get it. What is funny? Huge, huge audience though. So it's not for us.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I didn't realize he was such a draw for chicks. I mean, chicks are that resilient. Wouldn't you think they would be turned off by all this?
You would think so, especially when you see that doc that you were just talking about. Oh. I mean, these women are so distraught, and he's so controlling of them. Once they become one of his girlfriends, they can't leave the house without getting his permission, even though they live in St. Louis and he lives in L.A. It's nuts.
There's a part of me that really wants to know, how do you do that? How do you get that kind of control? I'd just like to know.
I mean, I would do it for a week or two. I would, you know, not forever.
Well, no, it's pretty amazing to think you can control like 20 super hot chicks and they won't go to the bathroom without you saying it's okay. That's pretty incredible. How do you do that?
It is incredible. It just seems so exhausting, though. Exactly. Yeah, imagine living that life.
I don't want to do it.
There's too many messages on my one phone. If I had a second or third fucking phone, God damn it.
Like, people always joke about having like sister wives. Like, hey, that'd be great. I'm like, I barely can deal with one wife. No, I can't
they start bonding with each
three?
Other.
Yeah, three. Now you got to deal with all three. Yikes. It sounds hard. Exhausting.
Are you guys going to have a overreaction after the national championship game?
Oh,
Drew, are you a slave driver going to drag everybody in?
Well, Mark will be.
I'll be in Houston.
Yeah, Mark will be in Houston.
Oh,
Mark.
Sweet. That's awesome. Buddy. Yeah, well, you can do it remote. We can zoom in like I am right now.
Fine. Yeah, I'll be very coherent.
Mark will be with the cult. Now, you know what? Honestly, this is a good question. Aren't more people into the Lions now?
Well, yeah, because everybody around here, if you're a football fan, you're a Lions fan. But there's a lot of people split. Michigan State or other schools. So
yeah, the last overreaction did pretty well. What a crazy fucking ending that game. I still can't believe that happened. That's just I can't think of a game I've seen where somebody got screwed in quite that way.
Well, the call was nuts, obviously, and we don't know exactly what was said and all that kind of stuff, but and hopefully it does come out. I don't know if it's come out yet. They've gotten the audio from the field. I don't know.
Yeah,
but has it come out?
I don't know if it's come out, but I didn't know. I didn't, because we didn't hear this on the broadcast, but they do announce to the stadium, this is who reported. Mm-hmm. So, maybe there's a little bit of an issue on the Lions there for not realizing that he announced the wrong number, but then what do? Call timeout? The fact that they told them at the beginning of the game or before the game that, hey, if we're going to run a 2-point conversion, this might be what it is, so heads up, and this is how we're going to report. I mean, that's a fact.
The number 70 never got to the official. 68 is standing right in front of him.
No,
it's totally stupid.
It seems like bullshit. But I understand the riverboat gambling and all that kind of stuff. When you're at the 7-yard line, you're no longer going for a 2-point conversion.
House
tie
money.
The game and send it to overtime. You just had a scoring drive.
House
what
money.
Are you doing?
Carl, I could not agree with you more. I thought there's being a gambler. I realize Campbell is super aggressive and he wants to take gambles, but don't take stupid gambles.
Yeah, no, it's not a good gamble. Not worth it. It's so frustrating. And you could tell that they weren't going to make that play.
I didn't think they would either.
That 2-point conversion, that was the trick play they had ready to go for that moment. They did it amazing. The letdown, when that gets called back, your team is not going to go out there and convert on a 4th and 7.
I think it's stubbornness at that point. I think it's just like, we're doing this. But you're going to fuck us over, we're still doing it.
You're a head coach, though. It should not be stubbornness determining how you do business. In fact, I saw a guy from Barstool Sports who was going ballistically. The Lions won, they won, they won. Oh, they took it away. Oh, now they just kick it. And the thing ended. I was like, yeah, that's how we all felt. Sure. Now they just kick it. And now we didn't. But, that would have been interesting.
The Boys are not playing that well.
No.
The Cowboys are a very beatable team right now, so I like the chances in overtime with that.
Yeah.
Different at home, though.
I didn't feel bad about it. I see a lot of it. But from the 7-yard line, I just think that's different. The original call, I thought that was a good risk. But when you've expanded the risk by 5 yards, I didn't like that at all. And then I didn't realize it, but they only moved up to the 4.5-yard line or the 5-yard line because they only got half the distance on the other penalty, which is also kind of fucked up, isn't it? You get penalized in overtime 5 yards, and then when you get it the other way, you only get half the distance, but that's how they do it. So
you got a big one Sunday night.
Yes. I might. So my buddy Vinny Paulino is a big Dolphins fan.
Oh, really?
So we were talking on, we did a show today. We were talking about, we might live stream us watching the game together.
Should.
Oh, really? Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be nuts because big game for the Bills. If they win, they win the division for the fourth straight year, I think. So, big game.
And the Bills are in the playoffs no matter what, though, right?
No, actually, if the Bills lose, which is very possible, they're going to Miami to play a pretty good Dolphins team, even though they just got blown out by the Ravens. If they lose and Pittsburgh wins, now Pittsburgh's playing the Ravens, who already have the one seed clinched. So Jackson's not playing. They don't need to play their good players.
Nope.
And then a couple other teams that would need to win are playing garbage football teams. So there's a really good chance the Bills get knocked out of the playoffs with a loss.
But it's cool what the NFL does with the flex now, because you'll know all that by the time kickoff rolls around.
Yeah, I still kind of like the Bills in that game. I don't know why. Why did Baltimore get blown, or why did the Dolphins get blown out so bad by the Ravens? What the hell happened to them?
Baltimore's really good.
Well, also, and they were inspired. The Dolphins' defense, they've lost some key players. They just lost Chubb. That was a big loss for them.
They lost another guy, too, this who's not playing on Sunday. I can't remember. The DB.
Yeah, so they're hurting in their secondary, for sure. And they've never been good. I mean, I went to the Bills game, and they won 48-20. And I was saying to Vinny before that game, like, the Dolphins' defense is not that great. Their offense, very quick. They got a lot of players, but it'll be a game. The Bills haven't been playing that well either. Their offense has been kind of garbage. The defense has been playing better. But
I saw Allen threw 21 passes last week. That seems like a low number for him.
Yeah, and he was started 0-7 or something. He'd never done that before. He has not looked sharp.
Well, I love the Bills. I know they can beat anyone any day if they're playing well. So hopefully it comes out and we're all in the playoffs and doing it from there. When's your next show, Carl, and what's the subject? Do you know?
So, tomorrow we're doing our midweek show, and we've been doing this new thing on the midweek shows where we pick a podcast category, and then Trucker Andy, Lucy Tightbox, and myself all find a podcast in that category, and we present what we think's the worst podcast in that category, and then the listeners can vote. And I tried to do one last week with audio drama podcasts. I love those scripted ones where they act them poorly and there's Foley work. It's so cheesy. And no one understood the assignment. I was the only one who brought that. So I said drama podcast, which is what it's called, according to Apple. But so then Lucy brought some reality TV star who just talks about drama. And Andy brought some weird stuff. So we're retrying it. So tomorrow's show, we're going to be doing audio drama podcasts.
Andy finds the most fucked up podcasts. Where does he find these shows? They're so bad and they're so weird.
He does. Yeah, he's there's a method to his madness. It takes a lot of work. Usually what I do is I find a show that's pretty bad and then find out why it sucks. I think what he does is he finds shows that are kind of bad and goes, nope, next, and then find ones that really suck. Right? He does a good job.
How is his All Apologies podcast going? Is he coming along? And he told me he was still in the formulating phases, but is it getting there?
Yes. And Andy will tell you, I just saw him on Who Are These Broadcasters Today. He will tell you that the show is getting a lot better, that they're finding their groove. And what's great about the All Apologies podcast, which is, by the way, a show that highlights different celebrities' apologies over the years.
Yeah, no, and Andy's very funny. I mean, when he's on your show, I know it's going to be a great show.
But what's cool about that show is that you don't have to know any backstory or lore or anything. You could jump into any episode. You see a celebrity you want to hear the apology from, Tiger Woods or whoever, you can just listen to that episode.
Cool.
So it's
I'm going to check it out after the show today.
It'll be linked in the notes, too.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, give Andy a plug. All right, Carl, thanks so much. That was great.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you real soon.
Go Blue, go Lions.
Yes. Go Bills.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Wave goodbye.